Alrighty, we're going to switch things up on you a little bit tonight. We're going to do things a little differently. You know, next you normally get the missionary minute. Well, you're going to get a missionary lecture tonight. But I'm going to preach first. Now, we just finished our missions conference. And Randy and I have talked about some of the things that he wants to visit with you about tonight to help us understand how the Lord is doing missions in our church. What we have seen together as we've been working as a church, supporting missions, being involved in special needs, having missions conferences and things like that. So Randy's going to talk with you in pretty good detail about that tonight. And what I'd like to do is give you something from the scripture that will go along with what he is going to talk with you about tonight, kind of speak about one point so he doesn't have to elaborate on it, that's also very important. So I would like for you tonight to turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And see something here. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, before we dive into our lesson tonight, let's have a word of prayer, and then we will read a few verses, expound the scripture, and get an understanding. Father, we thank you tonight for the opportunity to be able to come before your throne and pray. Tonight is prayer meeting. This is the opportunity that we have as a church to pray together, and we love it. We're looking forward to that time. We're also looking forward to being instructed about some things you've shown us about the way you're using this church to be supportive of missions. We also pray tonight, Father, as we open the scripture, that you will instruct us well from the scripture so we can see a very, very important principle simplified to the point, Father, where it makes sense to us not only to see it, but to do it. For we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Tonight, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, what I would like you to do is read with me on a few scriptures here, beginning with verse 1, and notice something that's very, very much like what the Lord is doing in our church. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality." In other words, they were experiencing deep poverty. They were in a great trial of affliction. And at the same time, they were experiencing an abundance of joy. And they were abounding under the riches of their liberality. That is, the trial and the deep poverty did not restrain their ability to give liberally. Which is a strange thing. That's paradoxical. It doesn't seem like that should have happened at all. "For to their power," verse 3 says, "I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." So when Paul arrived, they had this gift that they got together through the abundance of their liberality, through their great trial. Paul looked at their situation, and you can imagine he probably saying, "You know, guys, you need this worse than the people you collected this for." And he said, "And they were praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." They wanted to be a part of what was being done for the poor saints back in Jerusalem. Verse 5, "And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." So it was more than money. It was a gift of themselves to God and to the ministers. "Insomuch that we desired Titus, that is, as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also." That is, Corinth, this is what Macedonia did. We want you to be encouraged about it from Titus. Verse 7, "Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith, and utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also," that is, the grace of giving. "I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have." Verse 11 basically saying you guys were all excited about the opportunity. You were ready to will. And now he said, "I'm asking you to perform on what you wanted to do." Verse 12, if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and you burdened. Now here are the next two verses. We've read all this to get to these two verses. But by inequality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. In verses 14 and 15, what you're seeing here is something that Paul calls equality. Equality. And he says here that right now, to the Corinthian church, you have abundance, and they have want. And that by supplying from your abundance, you have ministered to their want so that there's an equality. And then he uses the illustration from verse 15 that comes from the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 16. He says, as it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. What's he talking about there? He's talking about the manna. He's talking about the manna. So let's go back there to Exodus chapter 16 and see what's going on in this equality. Exodus chapter 16. All right, in Exodus chapter 16, here's the procedure. Dew lays around about the host in verse 13. When the dew was gone up in verse 14, there was a small round thing as the hoarfrost on the ground. They didn't know what it was, so they called it manna in verse 15, which is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. Now, verse 16. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating. An omer for every man. An omer is a measurement. An omer for every man. According to the number of your persons, take ye every man for them which are in his tents. So somebody goes out, he's got some people in the tents, and he goes out and he starts gathering. And the children of Israel did so and gathered, what are the next four words? Some more, some less. And when they did meet it, what does it mean to meet it? It means to measure it. Okay? It means to measure it. When they did meet it with an omer, that's the dry measuring device, and that's a certain quantity. When they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. So there was the equality. When they went out there, they had whatever containers that they had in their tents. They would go out and they would start gathering up this manna in the morning before it melted. They gathered it all up and come back in, and they had buckets and they had trash cans and, you know, just use your imagination, right? Wheelbarrows and you know, coffee cans and whatever they were using back in that day. But Ziploc baggies, and, you know, they went out there and they gathered all this up and they brought it in, and then they put it in the omer, which is the dry measure, and, you know, y'all all have dry measures. Dry measure, they scrape that off and that goes to this guy, and scrape that off and it goes to this guy, and scrape that off and it goes to this guy. And by the time it's over, everybody has something to eat, and everybody got an omer, and every need was filled. Do you see that? And so he's comparing what they were doing with manna in the Old Testament to what he's recommending that the Corinthian church do in the New Testament. And he's talking about an equality. So what I would like to do tonight is, by way of illustration, is demonstrate for you a little of what this equality looks like, a little of how it functions in this church, a little of how here God has instructed us to do this. So what I'm going to ask David to do and Dole to do is I'm going to ask you, well, David's running the soundboard. I don't think much is going to change. We'll get Doyle involved in this, and we'll get Spencer involved in this. Go back there and get a couple of baskets, okay? And now everybody reach, you know, don't reach in your wallet. I came prepared tonight. I have borrowed money from the petty cash. I know how much this is. If I don't get all this back when we're done, somebody's in big trouble, okay? So, Let's just say, y'all come right on up here and take your place for purposes of the illustration, and I'll show you how this is going to go. Let's just say, you stand over here to the side a little bit, so there you go. Let's just say that in this church, what God wants us to do is that He wants us to support 5 missionaries. You're going to hear a little bit tonight from Randy about how the Lord directs us and who to support. But let's say that at this point, He wanted us to support 5 missionaries. And let's also say, by the way that you decide on Wednesday nights, that 4 of those missionaries would get $100 a month, and 3 of those missionaries would get $200 a month. Let's see. I love missionaries. 5 turns into 7 quick. Multiplied. May the Lord multiply your seed sown. Amen. And your missionaries supported. So 3 of us, how did I want to do this? So 3 of them at $100 a month and 2 of them at $200 a month. Okay, that, and let's say that's the direction that He has led this church. All right? So there's no formula as far as your part, but watch. Let's just say, I got to do something first. I got to prime the pump here, so just be patient. All right? Let's say that Joey, working in the job that he does, decides, after prayerful consideration, that he can give $5 a month to this effort. And Lacey, she's more spiritual than you. She can give 10. And Cade can give 100. He's working construction. He is a working man, yeah. And let's say that Amanda says that she can do 15, and the Schraders say that they can do 50, and Edie says, I can do 20. And Hannah doesn't know anything about money. Irene says she can do 25, and Randy says he can do 3,000. No. He gave it the office. Okay, 25, and Blake, he's a big-time government employee. He can give 100. I'm going to run out of people before I run out of money, okay? And so Brenda says she can do 40, and Will says, oh, man, I got to beat my mother-in-law, I got to do 50. And Joe says, I got to do 50. I'm getting ready to get workman's comp, and so forth and so on. And the Morales are broke, but they can do 20. And Joey just got saved. He hadn't even been baptized yet, and he's going to give 20. And the Hargis, they can do, and Rihanna, and she's in college, but she says she can do 20. And the rest of you, are, you know, I've just kind of run out of people. All right. So now what's happened is you all decided this on your own, that in praying between you and the Lord, that this is what the Lord would have you to do. And you don't know what circumstances you're going to face in your life that might affect that decision. You might have an engine blowout in the truck, and you might have an unexpected bill. But the Macedonian church went through deep poverty and a great trial of affliction, but they also abounded in joy and the riches of their liberality. And so you and the Lord have come to this thing. He wants our church supporting 5 missionaries, 2 of them for $200 a month and 3 of them for $100 a month. And you have been led by the Lord in your decision to do whatever I just passed out to you. And it's different. You guys have your Ziploc baggies and your coffee cans and your trash bags and your wheelbarrows, and you've gone out to gather by labor, and you've come in now to measure it in the omer, and so now you pass the baskets. And I better see every one of those when we're done. So, and if I had robbed the petty cash of more, the rest of you would be doing this as well. You're getting the illustration. So they're out now. They're gathering, and everything's coming back in. I didn't give anything to David, but you ought to check him out. All right, so you come back in like this, and then we receive the offering. And when we receive the offering, it comes in to the church, and the men count it, and then... Well, there you go. fat chance the missionaries would get any. Thank you. You've done your job. Okay. So now, oops, money everywhere. So now we have these missionaries that are depending upon us for monthly support. And we have two of them that get what? $200 a month. So there's 100 and 200 for one missionary. And we got another missionary that gets $100 a month, right? All right, so there's, $200 a month. So there's that, and there it is. There's his 200. Now we have three missionaries that get 100 each, okay? So 20, 40, 60, 80. One takes care of him. 50 and 50 takes care of the other one. And 5, 10, 30, 40, 45, 65. You don't normally count this way. 85, 90. What do you know? 100. It all got gathered in various quantities, and when it was meted out, every man got exactly the right amount. Do you see it? And that's the equality. And Joey, you say, yeah, but that's $700 and I only put five in there. But you know the beauty of that? That $5 is an investment in five missionaries. And with your $5, you couldn't have affected any one of them. But as a church, by equality, some gathered more and some gathered less. Some more, some less. But together, we meet the need that God has shown this church. Do you see that? And it's a very, very simple, very, very simple procedure. Now watch. Let's just say that Joey decides this month that he's gone and made this hard-earned money, and by golly, I just don't want to give it this time. What happens? Yeah, God gets it anyway, and he has a hard time. No. One omer is a little short. You see it? What God, listen, what God provided to you so that that could be provided to the missionaries was provided, but it didn't get to the missionaries because somebody went out to get the manna. And instead of bringing it to have it measured out for everybody that's there, he decided to keep a little extra for himself. And that's not equality. You see it? Well, if it's Joey's deal, $5, you say that's not such a big deal. But if it's Cade's 100, in God's eyes, that's the same thing. Because it's all of us doing by equality what the Lord intends to do for the missionaries. Let me tell you something about what you just saw here. That's a very little simple procedure. That is in a nutshell what he's showing you here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. But may I tell you something? There is a huge blessing in that. Because then what happens when that goes out to the missionaries, and it's not just five, it's 67. And it's not just 700. It's thousands of dollars every month. What's happening when that goes out is that we as a church are investing in what God is doing in the lives of people all over the world. And you have a part of that. Secondly, as God accomplishes what he wants to with the sowing of the seed of his word through those missionaries, the investment that is made has a return for you. When you get to heaven and you see what God did with that, because he said, my word will not return void. And when you're using this to help another man sow seed in another field and you get to heaven, you're going to see something you have never seen in your life. In one place, the Bible talking about those things on the other side says, "Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him." And when you demonstrate your love to God this way, God's going to show you something in eternity that He did with that that will blow your socks off. And that's the beauty of it. And the neat thing is, it's not what you did. It's not what I did. It's what we did. He wrote to Corinth about a church, about churches in Macedonia. He wrote about groups of people doing this, about local churches involved in this. And that is what God has given us to do. And so following our missions conference now, it may very well be that you're not a regular giver to missions. And if you're not, you know what I encourage you to do? Get with God and ask Him, what part of this do you want me to have? What do you want me to do? And then do that part. And watch what God does with it. Not only in the church, not only in your life, but more importantly, in His work and His harvest. Father, thank You today for a simple illustration from the Scripture to give us as a church good understanding of what it is You'd have us to do. Help lead us, Father. I know the heart of these people. I know they love You, and I know they love missions. And so, Father, I pray for any person here today that is seriously considering what to do about missions, that the little illustration we've heard today will be helpful to them to understand. There are people that give all kinds of different amounts. We know that. And face all kinds of trials, but that there's joy in this, and there's rich liberality in this. And I pray, Father, if they're interested to know what it is that You would have them to give, that You would direct them in that decision with great confidence, for we ask You to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.